the Skagway Assembly may vote to reduce the town's mill rate. And a shutdown of Ocean Beauty's Petersburg plant this summer means more fish expected at the Excursion Inlet Cannery. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more, up next. The 2013 municipal budget will be adopted Thursday at the Skagway Assembly meeting. The adoption was postponed until Thursday's meeting so the Assembly could research lowering the mill rates. Skagway manager Tom Smith has prepared a memo for the mayor and Assembly showing how a reduction in mill rates for the service areas will offer about $250,000 in tax relief for Skagway citizens. It's expected that an amendment to the budget to lower the mill rate will be passed. Also at Thursday's meeting, the Assembly will discuss a memo of understanding between the municipality and Yukon Energy Corporation. The intent, according to the memo, is to have the town and the Canadian Corporation work together to investigate opportunities for regional energy projects. The agreement would not have any legal binding commitment to develop projects or to have supply agreements, but just to investigate Alaska and Yukon projects that could benefit both areas. The Assembly will also discuss signs and street parking and gaming proceeds. The Port Commission has suggested that a resolution objecting to the Environmental Protection Agency's emission control area rule be postponed until more information is available about how the rule might affect Skagway when it goes into effect August 1st. The Assembly has also scheduled an executive session to discuss tideland lease negotiations. The meeting is at 7 p.m. Thursday in Assembly Chambers. Ocean Beauty Seafoods won't be processing fish at the company's cannery in Petersburg this summer because of damage from the state ferry Matanuska. The 408-foot passenger ferry crashed into the Ocean Beauty plant May 7th, gashing the wood and concrete dock in the cannery building. The fish processing company initially said it would still operate the plant this summer, but now it says it will not be able to. Tom Sutherland is vice president of marketing with Ocean Beauty.
In order for us to really do a comprehensive assessment of the plant, it's going to take us a little bit more time. We've done a good preliminary round of assessment. We have a good sense of what we think the damage is, but to know for absolute certainty that it's completely safe and that all of the regulatory concerns will be taken care of, that's going to take us a little bit more time.
Sutherland says Ocean Beauty will still run support services for its salmon fishing fleet out of the Petersburg plant.
They'll still be able to get ice there. We'll still be running the office for admin services that the fleet would use, and our tender service won't be changed at all. So for the fishing fleet, there really will be essentially no difference.
The company brings more than 160 workers to process salmon during the busier summer seasons. A weak pink salmon return in 2010 prompted Ocean Beauty to shutter the cannery for 1 year. It was reopened again last summer, and Sutherland says they will be processing again next year. Meanwhile, he says Ocean Beauty does not yet have a good estimate of the damage caused by the ferry.
The engineers have just finishing their reports on it now, and it's going to take a little while after that until we can get all the contractors in there, you know, to figure out what the damage is before we're going to know that.
Pink, sockeye, coho, and chum salmon caught by Ocean Beauty's fishing fleet this summer will be transported by fishing tenders and processed at the company's plant in Excursion Inlet, west of Juneau. Excursion Inlet is part of the Haines Borough, and fish brought into the cannery are subject to the raw fish tax. An increase in catch brought into Excursion Inlet this summer could mean a slight increase in raw fish tax revenues to the borough. Ocean Beauty has also made arrangements with some custom processing operations to handle the 2012 catch. The decision leaves Petersburg with only one salmon cannery operating this summer. However, fishery managers are forecasting another weak pink run in 2012. The Marine Highway System has not yet finished its investigation of the accident. However, the Coast Guard last month ruled out a mechanical problem as the cause of the crash. There's about 200 Sea Alaska shareholders in the Haines and Klukwan area. The Native Corporation is now fighting back against an effort to impose term limits on its board of directors. Backers of the measure say the regional Native corporations' campaign methods provide another argument for limiting terms. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld has the details.
The 13 members of Sea Alaska's board of directors can serve an unlimited number of three-year terms. A measure critics placed on the corporation's proxy ballot would limit them to four consecutive terms, or a total of 12 years.
The board would lose eight members if this term limit resolution were adopted, and would turn the entire board over completely in the next 10 years.
Nicole Hollingstad is corporate secretary and a vice president of Sea Alaska.
This is a really significant loss of institutional experience and knowledge. That actually damages the credibility and stability of the corporation.
Sea Alaska is actively campaigning against the term limits measure. It's bought newspaper advertisements, posted information on Facebook, discussed it at community meetings, and used other means to urge shareholders to vote no. Hollingstad says it's just not needed.
Turnover on the board actually does occur naturally. We have had six new board members in the past 10 years, which is a 46% turnover rate.
Eight of the directors on the Sea Alaska board are all appointees. They've never initially been elected.
Shareholder McBeasley authored the term limits measure. He says only one board member in recent years won without first being appointed, so they could run as an incumbent.
It's really frustrating, but the system, it creates a class system of shareholders. Those shareholders are not ever going to be represented.
Sea Alaska says they're represented well. Corporate Secretary Hollingstad says shareholders make their own decisions to vote for anyone or anything they please.
The freedom of choice already exists in the election process. Shareholders can vote directed or they can vote discretionary, but under either circumstance, our shareholders have the direct choice of whom they elect.
Directed votes go to whatever candidate a shareholder chooses. Discretionary votes turn that choice over to the board. Sea Alaska does not release figures showing how much it's spending to oppose term limits. Part of that effort overlaps with advertisements supporting the board slate of five incumbents. Hollingstad says the proxy ballot is the primary way shareholders learn about election issues. It includes statements from all eight candidates and both sides of the term limits measure.
Sea Alaska has very smart shareholders. We have very engaged shareholders, and we encourage them to use all of these tools to get the information they need to cast an informed vote.
An earlier attempt to institute term limits was more severe. The 2009 effort would have limited Sea Alaska board members to only two consecutive terms or 6 years in office. The vote was close, with about 45% of shares cast in favor and about 48% opposed. But to win, the measure needed half plus one of all shares that could have been cast. In those terms, the measure got only about 35% of the vote. It's the same requirement this year, and Beasley admits it'll be hard to overcome Sea Alaska's ability to buy advertisements and campaign.
Well, I don't like my money being spent like that, but I'm kind of powerless. A lot of other people don't like it either. In fact, they're just furious over it.
Many shareholder proxy ballots have already been cast, but Sea Alaska won't release numbers until the voting period is over at its June 23rd annual meeting in Juneau. Beasley says the latest vote count he's seen shows the measure behind, but he and his supporters are continuing to wage their campaign through word of mouth and Facebook. A Shareholders for Term Limits page has more than 1,300 members. Sea Alaska's corporate Facebook site has about 1,200. Shareholder numbers are just above 21,000, with many living outside Southeast Alaska. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting from Juneau.
On Wednesday, two state commercial fishery officials were in Haines discussing fishery issues with the Borough Commerce Committee and the public. They discussed escapement goals for Chilkoot and Chilkat Lake and a few changes coming up for the Seine Fleet south of Lynn Canal this year. We'll have a full report on this meeting and the issues discussed on Thursday evening's newscast. This is Margaret Friednauer for KHNS News. Thanks to Joe Vicnicki and Ed Schoenfeld for their reports. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS welcomes comments from the public on topics important to you. If you'd like to make a commentary to air on your local community radio station, check our website at khns.org under Community. Each listener commentary airs twice, once in the evening and once in the morning after your local news. Think of it as a letter to your neighbors. It's a KHNS commentary from listeners like you.